Hey guys, did you know that you can subscribe to the Investor Coaching Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts? When you subscribe, you get notifications with new episodes so you never have to go looking for an episode or worry about what you've missed. So if you're on your phone or computer, go ahead and pause the episode real quick and become a subscriber. If you're not sure how to subscribe, go to paulwinkler.com/how-to-subscribe, all one word, how to subscribe, for instructions, or click the link in the show note. Now let's get started.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, I'm back here on the Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler, talking about money and investing and retirement planning type topics. Of course, paulwinkler.com is the website that you can peruse for all audio, video, podcast, all of that stuff is right there at your fingertips. There for the taking. Just go over there, paulwinkler.com, and yeah, people even set up 15-minute phone calls with us, and if you want to just come right in, you can do that too. Okay, so one of the things that was a topic last week, and I saw something this week that made me go, oh, wait a minute, I need to use this in a newsletter. And I was writing a newsletter, and I saw this article, and it was entitled The Case for Indexed Annuities. And I was like, oh, wow, these guys actually sound like they are going to be positive on what I was talking so negatively about last week. You know, pointing out that the insurance companies, what they're able to invest in, and just really, really kind of crazy. And Jonathan actually made the case, he made a point that I thought, wow, that is the case of the day right there. We were talking about how it was put together, and I was just describing the vehicles that are used to put these indexed annuities together because they're really super popular. And I was talking about, you know, zero coupon bonds and, you know, basically buy a bond that is stripped of its coupons. That's why they call it zero coupon. And you buy it for a price that's lower than what it will mature for, and then you have imputed interest. It will grow to its maturity value. You know, so what happens is you'll take some of your money, a good portion of it, and they'll put it in that. And then what they'll do is they'll take because the idea is that you can't lose any money, right? Yeah, you can't lose anything in this. Well, of course, if the insurance company puts it in bonds that aren't that great, or they're problematic because the bonds are paying such a low interest rate, one of the things that insurance companies are doing now, and that's what we were talking about, is they're actually creating more risk by investing in things that are more speculative because the interest rates are so low. And they're going, well, we got to make these products work somehow. We got to have some kind of return. So what they're doing is they're stepping out and doing things that, you know, before you never would have dreamt of. And that, to me, just watching that happen makes me go, wow, you know, I remember this from the past when insurance companies got into just competition with each other. And this was a time when it wasn't that interest rates were low. Actually, the interest rates were fairly high. But what happened is people got really greedy and they wanted higher rates of return, higher, higher, higher. And the agents, you know, wanted to oblige. So what they did is they started pressuring insurance companies to offer even higher rates of returns in their products. And what companies had to do is they had to become more speculative. They had to jump into, if you want more return, you got to take more what? Risk. And that's exactly what they did. Well, what ended up happening is the insurance companies, many of them just went under. It was just a real mess. Now, at that point in time, not all of the insurance companies were in trouble. So some of them bailed out each other, and there were things that helped. But, you know, people's money, they were locked up for long, long periods of time, and they couldn't get at their own money. And, you know, if you have a situation that's systemic, where all of a sudden lots of insurance companies are all involved, well, you can't have other insurance companies bailing out other insurance companies if it's systemic, if they're all involved in the problem. And in essence, I was just describing these zero coupon bonds, and I said, yeah, and then it would take the rest of the money and they, you know, buy options contracts. And an options contract is where you can magnify the gains and losses. Now, I didn't really describe this last week, but the example I like to give for people is, let's say you've got an option contract you can buy for $2, and it's for a strike price of $52. You can buy a stock for $52. If the stock that it's written on is only selling for 50, it's out of the money. You know, so you can't go and buy the stock for 52 and sell it for 50 and make money. I mean, that wouldn't be a really good idea. But, you know, if it goes to 51, you can't buy it for 52 and sell it for 51 and make money. You're going to lose a dollar. You paid a dollar to be able to buy it for 52 is how the option works. That's the idea behind them. If it goes to 53 and the thing's about to expire, yeah, you exercise it. You buy it for 52. You sell it to somebody for 53 and you've made a dollar. You spent $2 to pay for the option. You just lost half of your money. You lost $1 on a $2 investment. And then if it goes to 54, you know, break even, you you buy it for 52, sell it for 54, made $2, you spent $2 on the option, you've got to break even. And then if it goes to 55, you buy it for 52, you exercise the option, buy it for 52, sell it for 55, make $3, and your investment was $2, right? Because that's what you paid for the option. So it's a 50% return. So that's what I mean by you can magnify the gains and losses. Now, if it doesn't move far enough or it goes down, the stock goes down, you just lose your $2. You lose 100% of your money if you think about it that way. So, you know, you wouldn't just buy for $2. You'd put, you know, thousands of dollars in these options. And that's what the insurance companies do. And Jonathan just said, so you just described this to a senior. This is what I'm going to do with your money. I'm going to buy zero coupon bonds and options with your retirement money. What do you think? And they're going to look at you like you have lost your mind. And I thought, that's funny. I mean, you think about that. That is in effect what we're talking about here, isn't it? So I'm reading this article on in the case for indexed annuities, right? And, you know, I'm just, you know, thinking about, okay, so what is the case that they're going to make for this? And I'm just trying to think of, you know, what are they going to, I'm interested. What are they going to say? Well, they start off the article, they say, one of the drawbacks of record low interest rates. Again, what is it? We're looking for getting higher return for what? Less risk. It's what it always is when these products are chased after. I want to get something for nothing. I want to get more return for less risk. So that's the way it starts. You're creating an income stream for retirement significantly more complicated because of these low interest rates. And they said near retirees, you know, before they could rely on CDs. No, they couldn't. You know, no, that's wrong. Because back when CDs pay higher interest rates, inflation was higher. You were still losing money. You were still, you know, even when interest rates, good grief, you know, you had CDs at 15%, you had over 12% on the inflation rate. You're paying 15%, you got taxes on that. Maybe you're netting down to 10 and you got a 12% inflation rate and, you know, you're losing 2% there too. And yeah, so no, it was just an illusion that you were doing okay when interest rates were higher because the inflation rate and interest rates are highly correlated with each other. And then it says, well, likewise, traditional 60-40 portfolio, 60% stocks and 40% government bonds has fallen out of favor with some analysts because abysmal returns in the bond portion. Well, no. Yeah, you can say it's fallen. Yeah, it has fallen out of favor. But the reason it fell out of favor is because people didn't follow the academic research on how you take an income from an investment portfolio. It just simply didn't happen because if you had followed the research, things were fine even in the past 20 years where interest rates have been low. It has been fine if you had followed the research. The problem is the industry is abysmal at doing that. They're stock picking, they're market timing, they're trying to figure out where the market's going to go. They're moving money around in various areas. They overemphasize large U.S. companies. And of course, you had the dead. Well, I say decade, but it was 12 years. Yeah, 12 years of negative returns. And, you know, if you look at that and go, yeah, how would you make a 60-40 portfolio work that's not diversified? And that's the problem that we run into with the big investment companies is they don't diversify. They typically focus way too many times on just one area of the market because that's all it's talked about in the media. You know, if they ask you, hey, what's the market doing? They're going to tell you what the Dow did, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. Those are the three things that they always report on, and that is only one area of the market. But anyway, creates a conundrum for older investors who are reluctant to increase their exposure to an uncertain and volatile stock market. Guess what? The stock market has always had volatility. If it weren't for volatility, there would be no higher returns with stocks. So, you know, blaming people not investing in the stock market on volatility is kind of silly, when you really think about it, because that's the reason historically the stock market has always given us higher returns. It's because of the volatility. You know, so it doesn't even make sense to say anything about that. So, you know, as an antidote, annuities that provide higher returns than you earn from CDs or government bonds with limits on how much you can lose in a market downturn. That sounds really, really good. Except for how are they getting the higher returns? They're taking more risk. And in effect, if the things that people are worried about happen, do you think that somehow the insurance companies are going to survive it? I don't necessarily think so. Anyway, the article goes on because it's this case for annuities, right? You think that there's going to be a good case for investing in these things that's going to be coming up, right? Annuities have a checkered reputation. Insurers have created seemingly endless variety with seemingly endless lists of bells and whistles and products that are often poorly understood. I don't hear anything positive yet. And annuities are sometimes loaded with high upfront commissions. Yeah, some of the stuff is like 10%. You go throw $300,000 and it's a $30,000 payday. Where does that come from? It comes from your pocket. That's where it comes from. The commissions come from your pocket. Or what they do is, and how do they come from your pocket? It's really creative. It says, worse, the commissions limit investors' returns because insurance companies adjust caps and other features to recoup the cost of commissions. We got high commissions. We got to incentivize somebody to sell our product. Oh, what we'll do is we'll adjust the caps. In English, we will adjust the returns down that you can get when the stock market does well. That's basically what they just said. So if the market does go up, we'll just adjust it so you lose out on that return, which is really what you're there for, is you're trying to get higher returns than fixed income investments, but they basically knock that out of you. Now, one of the things that there was nothing terribly good in the entire article, you know, saying that, hey, this is a great thing. But I thought it was kind of funny. There's this one guy that was interviewed and he was asked about it. And they were talking about surrender charges and you can't get your money back. And you have, you know, if you try to pull money out, you have to limit how much you pull out. Otherwise, that you might have years and years of surrender charges. And so basically, they hit you on the back end if you leave. But they had this guy that they interviewed and he says, indexed annuities, he says, rarely make sense for long-term investors. So right off the bat, that's pretty funny. And who are these products actually sold to? They're sold to long-term investors, retirement investors. And this guy's basically saying they rarely make sense for long-term investors, the very target audience that they're selling these things to. This is George Gagliardi, a certified financial planner in Massachusetts. He said, over the past 50 calendar years, the S&P 500 index has returned an average of, it's a little bit more than 10% per year. So I'm just going to round to 10 for my illustration here based on what he's saying. If you were to apply a buffer cap strategy for those 50 years, and then he said, you'd basically have an average return that was 40% lower than the index itself. So buffer cap strategy, in essence, you'll have caps on these products. And you might have a monthly cap so that they'll cap how much return that you can get. If the S&P 500 goes up 10%, you get 2% of it, or you get 3% of it, or something like that. And there are periods of time when the S&P makes a big move rapidly. Now, what they do, typically you're going to see that what they'll do is they'll take away all the negatives. So if you have, let's say, a 10% return, they'll give you 2% of it or 3% of it. But if it goes down 4, they're going to take away all those 4. So you can have, they're going to take away all of that 4. They gave you 3, right? They'll take away all that 4, but they won't go below 0. Now, you can have a year where the market has a good return, but you basically get nothing, no return whatsoever in this product. So that's why he's saying it's not so hot for long-term investors. But 40% lower, you know, if you take and do the math on that and just say, well, what does that mean? Because sometimes we're not so great at actually calculating these numbers in our minds. Let's say if you had a $1 investment 50 years. And you said, okay, so what happens if I put a dollar away for 50 years? It grows to, believe it or not, $117,000. You know, so you look at that and go, okay, so that's what it grows to. What does it grow to if I have a 40% decline in the return? I bring it down to 6%. $18,000. So just over $18,000. So the difference between almost $120,000 down to less than $20,000, that's a pretty big difference. And in essence, that's the problem that you run into with these products, is that they're just sold as this thing, this panacea that's going to somehow give me return with no risk. And if you look at it, it's not necessarily how it comes out in the wash. So again, friends, don't let friends do this stuff. Indexed annuities, I'm just not a big fan of these things, if you can't tell. All right. Let's change gears now. You know, one of the things I hear from so many people still, I guess I'd never stop hearing this. The market's overvalued. I think it's going to come, crumbling down. And, typically after a couple bad days in the market, that's when you hear it the most. And then, after the market goes up for a while, then you don't hear anything. And then after the couple days, bad days in the market, you hear it all over again and so on and so forth. And people's ability to predict market direction and time the market is just horrible. It's just historically just not something that people are able to do. It's just an exercise in futility. So I was writing about it in our newsletter, and I gave out some headlines. I said, check out this headline. U.S. stock market overvaluation by 40%. Financial Times. It's I'll get into this in a second. Let me just hit the second headline. Equities are overpriced. Here's how the crash will unfold. And then you got the next headline. Stocks are overpriced, overleveraged, headed for trouble. I mean, any of these headlines could have been written today, right? Because that's what we keep hearing. Well, when was the first headline written? October of 2009. I mean, it's literally at the very, very, very beginning of this huge bull market that we've been through for so many years. Next one, May of 2010. That was equities are overpriced. Here's how the crash will unfold. That was CNN. Next one was Market Watch. Equities are overpriced. Here's how the crash will unfold. 2010. Or 2000, and then the stocks are overpriced, overleveraged, headed for trouble. That was Market Watch. That was 2015. When you hear this stuff, just grain of salt. And it doesn't mean stocks can't go down. But, which stock market? You always hear me say that. Is it going to be large U.S.? It's going to be large value stocks. So is it going to be small caps that are going to go down? Is it going to be international small? Is it going to be? And you have different areas. And different areas are very differently priced right now. Different market segments. That's why, you brought much, much, much more broadly diversified than fund companies and investment firms typically get you. That's what you've got to do. They're abysmally bad at doing that because investing is a popularity contest. It's what did well recently. That's what we'll sell. That's what we're going to put you in. What did well recently. But the reality of it is, things don't repeat. And you got to watch out. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. You want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there. And if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.